Begin the current daf, Sechtes Chulin daf Yud Ches. Begin four lines down at the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the halacha of the previous daf, which we mentioned, that before slaughtering, one has to check the knife that he's going to slaughter with. And moreover, that's based on logic, of course, because the Rosh might make it a trefa, but one has to even show it to the sage of the city as a sign of honor and dignity to that Chacham. That, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huni says, Hai Tabacha, this slaughterer, this butcher, the loisar sakina that doesn't show his knife, Kamei Chacham in front of the sage, Mishamtinale, we excommunicate him. For Rava, he says, Ma'brinale, we actually remove him from his post as a slaughterer, that he shouldn't sell meat anymore. And we actually announce regarding his meat that it's not kosher. Says the Gemara, Vulei Pliga, they're not disagreeing. Khan, Rav Huna was talking about, Bishnimtsa Sakina Yafa, even if it turns out his knife was kosher, it was a good knife, still we excommunicate him just simply from due to the fact that he was a mechutzif, that he was held in disregard, the sage of the city, which as the Gemara says in Berachas of Yud Testament Aleph, that we excommunicate someone because of the affront to the dignity of the rabbi, and here he's not showing him that dignity by showing him his knife. Khan, Rabbah, who said even stronger, was Bishalei Nimtza Sakina Yafa, that when they end up checking him out, they see his knife is not even good. Then we throw him out, and we say his food is not kosher. Ravinam, he says even more. He says, Hei Chedulei Nimtza Sakina Yafa, if it turns out his knife is not good, wasn't a good knife, Mimas Misli, then they actually smear his meat, Biparsa, with waste matter. That even for non-Jews, he's not going to be able to sell his meat. Forget about for Jews, who we say it's Trefa. Now, but according to Ravino, when it turns out that his knife is okay, we still announce that his meat is treif because as a penalty. But we still let him sell his meat to the non-Jews, and we're not going to smear it with waste manner. Now the Gemara tells the incident that Hutabacha Dulisar Sakinai Kameid de Rava Bar Chinina. There was a certain butcher who didn't show his knife before slaughtering to the Chacham of the city, Rava Bar Chinina. So Shamteva Abre. So he excommunicated him and he removed him from his post. Because he held that when Rava said that you remove him, that's even when you find his knife is good. He didn't say, like we just said before, that he only said when his knife is not good. Even if his knife is good, you don't show it to the sage, you get removed from your post. The achris abisrid de trefi, and he announced regarding his meat that it's not kosher. The iklu marzutra vavash legabe. And at a later point in time, marzutra and ravashi came to Rava bar Chinna. So amalahu, he said to them, la'ainu, and the gear says, rabbana b'milse, let the rabbis investigate this guy, this butcher, maybe you'll find some merit for this person, because although I excommunicated him and I removed him from his post as a slaughterer, but the Tolibe Tafla, but he has children, little children that are dependent upon him for sustenance and he needs to make money, and because of the situation that he didn't show me the knife, I removed him from his post. So Batka Ravashi Lasakinis, Ravashi checked out that butcher's knife, Venimtsis Yafa, and it was a good knife, it didn't have any nicks in it. And he validated him because he held that, as we mentioned the Gemara previously, that when Rabbi says you remove him from the post, is only when his knife turns out not to be good. But if it's good, then again, we'll only excommunicate him, but we won't remove him from his post, and therefore, he let this guy go back to his job. Now, Amalei Mazutra, but Mazutra said to Ravashi, but isn't the master concerned for the honor of the elder of Rabbi Bachinna who removed him from the post? And here you are, and you're saying he can go back to his post, to his job? So he said to him, we're doing his agency. He told us to try to find merit for this butcher, for this slaughterer, and now that we find, we don't have to go out and consult with him, even though we're disagreeing with his opinion. Since we found reason to reinstitute him, we could put him back to his post. Now, Amar Rabbi Bar Huna, he says, Shein Talusha, a detached tooth, meaning that was detached from the jaw, either from a person, from an animal, that's excluding if it's still attached to a living thing, if it was detached, or if it's a parent lush or a fingernail that was detached, mutalishchid balikitchila is permitted initially to go ahead and use it to go ahead and slaughter. On that, as the Gemara of Anan's number, we learned in our Mishnah that said, you're allowed to slaughter with anything, chutz mi magal katzer, except for the harvesting sickle, vamagera and the saw, vashinayim vahatziparin, and with teeth, and with fingernails, and they shin chinkin, because they strangulate, they don't slaughter. So how could you say that you could use a fingernail and a tooth? Says Gemara, Shena Shen Lekasha. The contradiction with teeth is not difficult, because this halach of Rabbi Arhuna is Bechada. It's talking about one tooth. That's valid, because even though it doesn't have much width, but the Gemara elsewhere tells us that if you're going forwards and backwards, if you're doing a front and back motion, even if the knife is very small, it's going to be valid. But Ha Betarti, the halach of the Mishnah that says tooth are not okay, is talking about two teeth. So even if it was initially removed from a living animal and then was just put back into a drawer to use as a tool, it's going to be what's called a sakan baguma. It's like a knife that has nicks in it, because there's space between the teeth. And that space is like the problem about a saw, like the V shape. So therefore, even detached, still the halacha of the Mishnah is saying the teeth would be a problem if you have two. Rabbi Hun mitzuma when you have one tooth, and that's okay. And tziporin that tziporin lekasha. It's also not a difficulty regarding the laws of the fingernail, because ha betlusha, as he said, Rabbi Hun was talking about when that fingernail is detached from the living thing. Ha b'muchuberes. Our Mishnah says it's a problem when it's still attached to a living creature, like Rabbi, who he said you're not allowed to slaughter with something that's attached. And if it's attached to the ground or attached to a living thing, that's a problem. That's what the Mishnah meant when it said that Tziparin would be a problem. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of all these Mishnahs regarding Hasheichet, when someone is slaughtering. So the Mishnah says, Hasheichet b'magal kotzer, if someone's slaughtering with the harvesting sickle. But he's doing it b'derech halichasa. He's doing it where he's going in a forward motion, where that's unique about the harvesting sickle, which, if you're going to go only in the forward motion, you're not going to be tearing, because although that there are points coming out of it, but as we explained the previous daf from Rashi, that they're bent at a very, very backward angle, where if one's going, although generally if you have one side, let's say not a V, but just one point coming out, what's called the ukit, it would still tear it, as Rashi had explained the previous daf. But here, where they're so bent, that if you're going, you're not hitting any of those jagged edges, only if you're going the other direction. So in this case, still, Bishami places them, he says it's invalid, but Ubisil Machshirin, and therefore, Bishil says it's going to be valid, again, because if you're going just in the forward motion, you're not going to be tearing the pipes, you'll be doing a regular slaughtering. Now, moreover, the Mechlikr Shanao, if they smooth out the teeth, the jagged edges, then Harikisaka, it's like a regular knife, and it's going to be valid to use for slaughtering. Now, Amr B'chibar Abba Amr B'yechin, he qualifies the Halacha Mishnah. It says, even though Beis Hillel validated if one's slaughtering with the harvesting sickle only in the forward motion, they only was validating it that it's not, it's going to be purified from the laws of Tumma of being a nevela. It's not considered a dead animal carcass, which that would be if it's not a shechita. But still, one's not allowed to go and eat from the meat that was slaughtered with that type of knife because of a rabbinic decree of, even though we let you go forward, but you might come to go backwards. So, although you didn't, so it's not going to be Tamas Nevela, but we don't let you eat the meat if it was slaughtered with this Magal Katzer, even though it was done only B'derech HaLichasa. And Omer Vashi says, Dekinami, precise reading of a Mishnah seems to indicate this. Because Iktani, the words in the Mishnah were, if one slaughters with this harvesting sickle B'derech HaLichasa, it says B'Shami Paisim, they invalidated. When we still Machshim, they say it is valid. Now, V'loi Katani, and the words in the Mishnah are not B'Shami Oysen U'Besil Matirin. If it said permitted and forbidden, that would be going on the meat. That if it's permitted or forbidden to eat. It doesn't say that. Because we're not permitting the meat, even according to Beis Hillel. It's just that, is the shechita kosher or apostle? So according to Beis Hillel, it's kosher, meaning it's not going to be nevela, but still one's not allowed to eat the meat. However, the Gemara rejects the proof, because otamech, according to your reasoning, listening, then it should have said even clearer. Beishami metamen ubisil metaren. If it's only regarding the element of not being nevela, so it should have spoken about the laws of tuma. Beishami say it's tameh, and Beis Hillel says it's tar. And it doesn't. This says kasher apostle. Ella rather says the Gemara, it's not a raya because paisnu machshirin va'isnu matirin, whether saying invalid or valid, or permitted or forbidden, chadamil say it's all the same thing. And therefore, yes, when it's saying apostle and kasher, it's going on the slaughtering, or according to Bishame that says that the shechita is apostle, so if it's not a good slaughtering, so that's why it's in the vela and it's going to be betami. According to Bishil that says it is a valid shechita, so therefore not only is it not in the vela, so it's going to be permitted to eat. And therefore you cannot infer from here a support for this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan. But Rashi does point out, still the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan does stand because it's a tradition that he has from his teacher. That this is the halacha, that's the Messiah he had. Rashi just wanted to prove from the word in the Mishnah, not a proof, but Rashi still says that his interpretation in our Mishnah does stand. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about Hasheichet. So here's where the Mishnah gets more specific in regards to the area of the slaughtering itself in the neck of the animal. This is the Mishnah, Hasheichet mitoich hatabas. Someone slaughters from within the ring. Now, what we're talking about in the ring is that the trachea, we're talking about these two pipes, the windpipe, the food pipe, the trachea, and the esophagus. And this is the kana and the veshet. These are the two pipes we're always talking about. Now, in those pipes, and we're talking about the trachea over here, there are rings of cartilage that surround the pipe. And it's in these simonim. You have to cut when you're kashering, when you're validating an animal to be eaten. Specifically here, what we're talking about over here, which ring we're talking about, we're talking about the large ring, which is the highest from all the rings of cartilage that surround the trachea, which there's no higher ring than that one going upwards, basically on the top of the neck, all the way up to where the mouth of the jaw of the animal is. Now, so someone's learning from within the ring. V'shayer ba maloy hachut al panei kulo. And although he's going upward direction, but he ends up slaughtering, the whole slaughtering, where it's still within that ring. He leaves a thread circumference of that top ring towards the top, towards the head of the animal, where although he's, let's say, maybe even going on the incline with the knife, he never leaves that top ring towards the head until he finishes cutting the entire ring. So then, as long as he has at least a thread's worth of that top, of the cartilage of that ring, shechita sekshar, it's going to be a valid shechita. So in other words, as long as it's still a little amount of the ring that you're still within, that's kosher. But that the inference is, but if let's say before he finished cutting within that entire ring, he does what's called hagrama, that he slants the knife a little bit and it goes towards the head and he leaves the area of the ring, and that's where he ends up finishing the slaughtering above that top ring, which is not the area of where the shechita is allowed to be. That's the halacha Maishav Asina called hagrama. And even if majority of the trachea is cut in the area where the shechita is, the shechita of the Rabbanan, the Tanakam, and this Mishnah holds it's going to be possible, because since you finished it in the invalid area, it's not going to be considered a valid shechita. However, Bishmi Behuda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Maloichut al panei ruba. If it was left over, this, again, a hair's breadth, a string of on the top of this ring towards the head, and that is you cut the majority of it within the ring, so then even though a minority of it you did hagrama, you went out of that area towards the head, and you finished the shechita above that area, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be valid, because it becomes validated the shechita, because the majority of it was done within that area. And the rest of that little bit of shechita that you did on the top was just like cutting meat, but you did the shechita by doing the majority. Now Rashi points out, which some of the information Rashi brings is important, besides that he brings that there are those, which he explains in Amud Beis, also their interpretation of the Gemara, are those who want to say, not like we just said, that the halacha we're talking about of Hashreich Metecha Tabas, that has to stay within the ear of that ring, is not just a top ring, it's all the rings that are there on the whole length of that of the trachea, which is the windpipe, that leaving any ring when you're slaughtering is considered hagram according to Rabbanan, and according to Rabbi Yisi, if you didn't do the majority within that ring. Because once you started slaughtering within any one ring, there are those who want to say, then you would have to finish the whole shechita inside that ring, or at least the majority according to Rabbi Yisi in that ring, which Rashi says is not the case. And this is where he brings in other information, which we learn in the Tosefta, that says there is no difference in the area of the trachea, whether you're in a ring or the airspace between the rings. And the whole machlekes that we're having in the Mishnah is regarding what's called the tabas hagdil, the large ring, which doesn't have any area of slaughtering above that area. As we learned in Tosefta, which says that the mitzvah of shechita is from the ring up until the lungs, which that's further down, which where these pipes connect to. Now, but if you do hagrama, you go out of the ear, it's going to be invalid, which is anything above that ring. Where, as we'll see later on, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis actually says it's going to be valid. But if you left over at least a thread worth of the top near the head, so according to Rabbanan, if you have the whole area, it's going to be kosher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's enough even if you have just a majority, like the shape of the levana, like a semicircle, then it's going to, if you have the majority, it's going to be kosher. But one thing Rashi proves, and the fact that the Braisa, the Tosefta says, that it goes from the ring up until the lung, what do you mean from the ring until the lung? Obviously, we're giving that whole area of the Makom HaShechita, it means, what's the ring? It's the big ring, which that's the first one, and that's what we're talking about here in our Mishnah. So why is it called just the, it's that when it says, Mitech HaTabas, the ring, which that's why the others wanted to say, it means any one of the rings, and Rashi is saying, no, it means only the top ring, is because since that, there's actually something unique about this ring, the top ring, because on the entire length of the trachea, there is no complete ring besides this top one, because they're not complete. Rather, there's actually a strip of flesh, of cartilage, that goes along the entire length of the trachea, and it attaches the tips of those other rings, because the other rings only go like a horseshoe. They don't go around the whole circumference, and there's something that actually connects it. And that's why we're calling only this one the ring, because it's the only one that entirely circles around the trachea. And moreover, from the fact that it says that it's near the top, obviously that the only thing we're concerned over here is that it shouldn't go out from that area above that, but going down, we're not concerned, because as long as it stays within the area of Shechita, says Rashi, it doesn't have to stay in that ring itself. It just can't go above this ring, which is the top ring, because then it's out of the entire area of the Shechita as it is. Now, the Gemara tells us that Rav Shmuel Damar Tabayim, they both say, Halacha Kribiyasa Behuda, Halacha Falas Kribiyasa Behuda, who says, you don't have to have the whole thing, as long as the majority of it was within the ring, although the last bit you left, it's going to be kosher. Now, however, they qualify and they say, V'af Rabbi Yisi Rabbi Yehuda, that even though according to Rabbi Yisi, we're basing our halacha based on this concept of Rubik Kukulai, so therefore we say it was within the area, but Loi Omar, he didn't say that the Shechit is going to be kosher if you do it in the ring, and based on this principle of Rubik Kukulai, Ela B'tabas HaGedayla, only in regards to saying that it was done within the area of this large ring. And the reason why is, Ha'ilam HaKefes is Kalakana, since this large ring surrounds the entire trachea, so it's considered the kana, it's considered the trachea, and therefore, if at least you have majority, you were in the area, and you did it on the kana, so you did a valid shechita. Abisharta bois loy. But regarding the other rings, then, actually, say Rabban Shmuel, the shechita is not going to be valid in that area at all, only between the rings. Why? Because since those rings don't surround the entire trachea, as we just explained before, because there's that strip of flesh that actually connects in the back all those rings to tie them together, to keep it together. So according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, he doesn't consider those rings as the trachea itself. Because although they do surround the majority of the circumference of the trachea, but that's what Rav Shmuel is coming to explain, that this, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Rubik Kukulai, that's only in an area that's considered Makam Shechita, like the large ring, and you slaughter the majority of it. For that, Rabbi Yehuda says Rubik Kukulai. But to make an area in a valid area of Shechita, because of this reason, that we don't make something into an area of Shechita because of Rubik Kukulai. So here, that the rings are not a makam shechita because it's not the kana, because it doesn't surround the entire circumference, it's not considered the kana, and therefore it's not a valid to do shechita in those other rings. Now, that's what we're explaining, that the rings are not considered, they're not called the kana, the trachea, from the fact that it doesn't surround the entire circumference of the trachea. And the inference is, as Rashi explains, is that because we're talking about the membrane that's inside the rings, that covers the trachea on the inside, that's called the kana, but the ring itself not, and therefore it's only valid in the areas between the tabayas, so the only ring that really Rabbi Yisrael holds you could do it on, and that's related to the, and he applies the concept of Rubik Kukulai, but there, if you do the majority in there, is the top ring. But the other rings, he won't say Rubik Kukulai will consider as if it's entirely surrounding it to be considered part of the kana, it's not part of the kana, and therefore it's not valid to do shechit over there. On that, as the Gemara, B'shar Tabo Islai, is that really so? The Rabbi Yisrael holds that you cannot do shechita on the other rings on the length of the trachea. But Vatan Yulinda Braisa, that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Oimer, who we're discussing his opinion, he says, as a continue to convey, he says, HaShechit B'shar Tabo Is, this halach, if someone slaughters on the other rings of the entire the trachea, or at least the majority of its circumference, even though these rings do not surround the entire trachea, as we've been explaining, but says clearly, since it surrounds the majority of the trachea, it is a valid shechita. So we see clearly, not like Rav and Shmuel, that even for this halach itself, we apply Rubik Kukulai to make it as if it's part of the trachea and say it's a valid area for shechita. Now, before we conclude the question, the Braisa continues, which is going to be important in the rest of this Braisa later on in the sugya, is umogremes, that is, if let's say, even the majority of the shechita was within the ring, but a little bit of it went above the top ring, so then pesula, so then it's going to be invalid, and this is a separate halacha, which is not even Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, it's the Rabban who are saying it, and it's just an anonymous halacha saying that halacha of a grama is going to be possible. That's, as the Braisa, a third opinion, Hadrib Chanina ben Atignis al Magremes, he testified regarding Hagrama, Shehi Keshera, that's actually valid. That is, even if it went entirely above the area of the large ring on the top, it's going to be kosher, because when the Torah had taught us, Halacha L'Meshem Sinai, that Hagrama is invalid, as we're going to learn later on the next daf, that was only from where the top hat, which is on top of this area, this is something like a cartilage the shape of a hat that slants upward. Once a slat starts slanting upwards, that's where the limit was. But on top of the top ring, you could even go on top of the top ring. And Rashi points out, as we can discuss later on, that's actually the halacha, because since he's saying a hayid, he's saying a testimony, Rashi says all halachas are when there's a testimony like that. And therefore, actually, the halacha is like him. But one thing the Gemara is asking right now is that, how could Rabbi Shmuel say that you don't take Rubik Kukulai and in regards to the other rings, and if it's not valid, Rabbi Yisrael says clearly it is valid in the other rings because of Rubik Kukulai. So now I'm Rabbi Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Tarti coming. You're right. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda himself said two halachas. He said regarding when you're cutting in the trachea, that there is halacha Rubik Kukulai, that since you cut the majority in the valid area, it's going to be kasha. Like we were talking about before regarding the large ring. Then he said another halacha. Regarding creating that the other rings should be considered a valid area of shechita because it surrounds the majority of the trachea, for that he also said Rubik Kukula. But Rav Shmuel, Sarvi Kavasei Bechada, but Rav Shmuel held like him only in one halacha. Only in that if you're cutting the majority in the area of the shechita, even though you went out a little bit at the end, that will be considered as if you cut the whole thing in the appropriate area. But they dispute him on the other halacha that he said to create that the other rings are considered makam shechita because of the concept of Rubik Kukulai. Regarding that, they said, we do not do that. So you're right, Rabbi Yisrael does say that, but they're disagreeing on him on that other halacha. That is the Gemara and the interpretation of Rabbi Yisrael. But what Rabbi Shmuel had said was that even Rabbi Yisrael himself, their words were, loy amar kamri, they said that he didn't say it in regards to the other rings. So obviously they were explaining his reasoning, not their own reasoning. So how could you say that it's them disagreeing with him when clearly they were saying it's that he doesn't say that. And yet here we see that he does say it. This is what they were saying. Halacha is like him regarding the large ring if you do the majority of the ring inside the ring. And the halacha is not like him in regards to the other rings. In other words, so this that they were saying, loy omahachi, he didn't say this, didn't mean that he didn't say it. It meant like loy omavalekum, like he didn't say anything, meaning you're not saying anything. It's a euphemistic terminology that saying the halacha is not like him, rather it's only like him in regard to the large ring, in regards to the cutting itself. And Rashi goes into a lengthy interpretation regarding that opinion that we had said, that their halacha, it was not just of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda regarding the large ring itself, but rather every single ring, you have to stay in that area. Rashi goes on to explain how that would fit into the Gemara itself. And then a third interpretation, which is also a similar type, but it's a gzeira of the ring itself staying in that area. But Rashi says again, the halacha that we're saying primarily is this first interpretation that we're explaining the Gemara with. But Rashi says anyway, although he has different interpretations, it wouldn't be a halachic problem because it says anyway is halacha, as we're going to explain, like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, who says it doesn't have to be in the area of the ring itself, even the top ring, it could even be on top of that. Now the Gemara continues with an incident that Kisalik Reb Zeir, when Reb Zeir went up to Eretz Yisrael, Achol Mugremis de Rav Shmuel. He ate from what Rav and Shmuel considered Hagrama, meaning he ate from the area where it was slaughtered within the other rings. Because, as we just explained, Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and they say that no, that you're not going to apply Rubik Kukulai over there, and the other rings are not considered part of the Kana because they don't surround the entirety of the circumference. And Rav and Shmuel held that that's considered Hagrama, because they said the other rings are not considered the Makam Hashchita. Now, why are we calling that Hagrama? Is because anything that's not considered the area of where you're allowed to slaughter, the Gemara calls Hagrama. As we find later on, the Gemara says in the next daf, Hirgrim Shlish, Veshachat Shlish, where we see that if the beginning of the slaughtering was not in the appropriate area, we call it Hagrama, because although the word Hagrama actually means slanting, so generally it means like because you were slaughtering in the top ring and you slanted out, so you went out of the area. So therefore we always use the terminology of Hagrama, but here, yeah, it doesn't really mean Hagrama, but it means that you didn't do it in the appropriate area because, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can't slaughter on the other rings because they're a distinct entity because since it doesn't have the entirety of the circumference, we don't see Rubik Kukulai over there. And if it's not valid, Rabbi Zeir, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he ate from the animal that was slaughtered in those other rings. Now, Amrulay, they said to him, Lav me asid Rabbi Shmuel at, aren't you from Bavel, from the place of Rabbi Shmuel that they held that that's considered not valid, that's not kosher? So Amrulay, he said to them, Ma Namra, who said this teaching in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that they said that that would be problematic? So they said to him, Yosef Bar Chiya, who, as we just quoted before early in the Gemara, he had answered for Rabbi Shmuel that how could they say that it's not kosher, but Yosef Yehud himself says it is kosher, that's what Rabbi Yosef would explain, that no, they disagree with him on that halacha. Which, this is Rabbi Yosef that's mentioned throughout Shas, it's Rabbi Yosef, who is Yosef Bar Chiya. So on that, Rabbi Zeir said, Yosef Bar Chiya, Mikuli al-Magomer. He learns from everybody. And maybe he heard something from somebody who wasn't so precise that to say it over as it was, and therefore it's not reliable. Why should I think it's not kosher because of this halacha that was said over, maybe not really precise, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel? So Shmuel of Yisab, Ikbar of Yisab heard about this, and he was particular about this. Amar, he says, Anam Ekuli, Amar Gemirna, I learned from everybody, you don't know if my statements are trustworthy. Anam Rabbi Yehuda Gemirna, I learned from Rabbi Yehuda, that Afilis Sveiki de Gavagaris, that in his tradition, in his teachings, he even mentions the doubtful tradition of who was it that taught it. Meaning when he's told over a teaching, and the one who tells it to Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't remember who exactly said it over, when Rabbi Yehuda goes and teaches over that teaching, who I received from him, Rabbi Yehuda says, I received from somebody who doesn't know if he received it from that person or that person. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda, like we find, Rabbi Yehuda said that Amr Rabbi Yirmir Ba'aba, that Rabbi Yirmir Ba'aba said to me, says Rabbi Yehuda, now, Safik Mishmeh de Rav, it wasn't clear if it was the name of Rav. Safik Mishmeh de Shmuel, wasn't clear if it was the name of Shmuel. You see so how precise he is to show the tradition to, in its reliability. The following halacha, which was Shleisha, that three common people, Matir Nes HaBachar, could permit a firstborn animal to be slaughtered out of the Beis HaMikdash if it's a clear-cut blemish, that everyone could see it's a blemish, which then that permits it to be slaughtered by the individual. But Makom Shein Mumcha, if there is no professional to who you generally need a Mumcha to go ahead, as the Gemara says in Bukhari, that even if it's a blazing blemish, you still have to show it to a sage, as the Mishnah teaches, if someone slaughters a firstborn animal and only later shows his blemish to the sage, your mayor actually says, since it was not slaughtered based on the sage, it's going to be forbidden, even though the Gemara there explains, we're talking about blemishes in the body, even though those are things that don't change and it's obvious that it was there before, still, as the Gemara says in Beit Davchav Zayin Manaf, that that's going to be considered a problem. So, if there's no mumcha, if it's such a glaring mum, he says that you could use three common people. One thing you see is that he's so precise. So how can you say that you didn't follow my teaching because it's not precise? I'm very precise. I'm following Rabbi Yehuda, who says exactly. And if this was Rav Shmuel, it was Rav Shmuel. Now, so although Rav Zeirin didn't necessarily rely on this, but Rav Zeirin lesley noisin lav chumri hamakom shriyat. So Masham asked the Gemara, doesn't Rav Zeirin have to be concerned with the halacha that we place the stringencies of a person from the place that he left from, and that he has to practice the stringencies of the place that he went to? It's a Mishnah Psachim that says you do have to. So even though he's in Eretz Yisrael now, and it's not Rav Shmuel's place, but since he's coming from above from Rav Shmuel's place, and that was the custom that they didn't eat the if it was slaughtered in the other rings, how could he go ahead and eat from the rings? Doesn't he have to have that stringency from the place that he left from? So Amabai, he says, no, Hani Mili Mibavel Lebavel. That's only if, let's say, someone went from one place in Bavel to another place in Bavel, where there's many places in the large country of Bavel. Or Me'eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, or from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael. Or Inami Me'eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, then he has to keep the stringency of the place that he left from and the one that he's going to. Of Mibavel Eretz Yisrael, but if someone went, like Reb Zeri went, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, then Kimen Anan Kafin Lu, since we're subservient to those of the Talmidei Chacham who live in Eretz Yisrael, because they're the ones who get to decide Kiddush HaChodesh, when it's the new month, and being Ma'ab of the year, when it's making a leap year, as the Gemara says in the last sugya in Masechtas Harayos, and so too in regards to Dinei Knesses, regarding penalty laws. There's no smicha, there's no rabbinic ordination in Bavel, and therefore we rely on them. So Avdinei Kavasayu, so therefore, if someone goes there, he could follow totally their customs, and he doesn't have to go ahead and give honor to the place that he left from, and since this he was eating there at Yisrael, therefore he didn't have to keep the custom of Rav Shmuel from Bavel where he came from. Vashem, he gives a different interpretation. He says, now you could even say that one has to practice the stringency of the place that he left, even if he's going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't Reb Zeri have to practice? Because that's only if his intention is still to come back home, back to Bavel. Then he still has to keep the stringency of the place that he left. Reb Zeri in Daita Lachzav, Reb Zeri had no intention of coming back, then he could keep the customs of where he went to. He doesn't have to always keep the stringency where he went from, and therefore he was able to eat from the place of the other rings, even though according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's problematic. Now, however, Amalei Abayel, Rav Yisav, he says, but the rabbis who came from Mechuzah, a place in Bavel, they said, Amar Reb Zeri Mishmei de Rav Nachman, that Mugremes, this Mugremes of Rabbi Shmuel, which means cutting the animal's trachea in the area of the other rings, kishayra, it's valid. Now, we're from Bavel, and we treat it as prohibited. So what is it? What's the custom in Bavel? Is it that it's aster, like Rabbi Shmuel, or that it's mutter? So Amalei, so he said to him, Nahara, Nahara, upashte. Which means to say, every river flows to the place that it's used to going. In other words, everyone goes after their custom. You're right, there are some places in Babel that their custom is like Rav Shmuel, that it's forbidden, and there are places that don't have that custom, and therefore, that's where they're saying that it's permitted. But that's because of different customs in Babel itself. Now, continuing on this theme that we mentioned before regarding the Makom HaShechita, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Achshir b'chud d'koiva, he permitted the slaughtering even if it was the point of that hat, as we've been explaining, that on top of the top ring, there's like a hat that is on top of that, on top of the trachea, on top of the top ring, like a hat on top of a head. Now, Rashi points out that's not the small flesh that goes on top of the trachea when one is eating, which is called the epiglottis, to cover the voice box, the larynx, so that one shouldn't choke on that. Rather, it's something else that we're talking about, that there's like literally looks like a hat, that from its midpoint onward, it starts, when it's going upward, it starts slanting and becomes like a sharpie point, like a pen. That slant is called the slant of the hat. And this that we're calling the chud de kaiva is the top point of that hat on the top. That's the point where it comes to a point. That's the pointy part of the hat. They're very high on the, it's like above the trachea, basically. It's like the uppermost part. That Rav Shimon ben Lakish would even say it's valid to even slaughter over there. What Koriyalei Rabbi Yechon? Rabbi Yechon recited on this. He says, Gisa, Gisa. Well, that's a lot. In other words, that you're validating way too much, because even according to Rabbi Chanina, who we're going to see is the most lenient, he doesn't hold it's valid all the way up there, but rather it's only from the point where it starts slanting upward, when it starts getting pointier, up until that area, but not more, not all the way on the top of the point like you're saying it's kosher. Now, Amra Papi Meshmei Dirava, he says, Paga Bechiti, if someone reached the area on the top of the trachea, which that part, that cartilage, looks similar to pieces, to kernels of wheat, which that's on top of the area of the trachea near that hat, says if you already touched that area, it's already trefa, it's already not kosher, it's already too high. Ibayla had the following question. What does he mean when he says touching those wheat-looking type of cartilage? Paga v'nagaben, does he mean that if it reached and it touched it, then it's puzzle? Then it's trefa, the chsivak, it says, the pasuk Malachim Aleph, it says, v'yifka boi v'yomois, that he touched him and he killed him, meaning it means a touching that's actually coming to it. Idim a paga v'loi naga, maybe when he means paga, it encountered it, but that it didn't actually touch it. But that even if it comes very close to it, you're cutting, that's already going to make it into trefa. Okay, the chsivak, we find such a pasuk in Bereishis, v'yifka boi malach elekim, that the Yaakov was going on his way and the angels of God encountered him, they didn't actually push him, touch him, they came up to. So what does it mean when he says this halacha? The Gemara doesn't answer right over here. What does it mean when he says if you're touching the chite that it's going to be trefa? Does it mean actually touching it or coming right near it is already going to make it trefa? Now, Idma, we learned, the Amar of Papa Meshmei de Rabba, he says, Shayer Bechiti, if someone even left over part of those wheat small pieces, like wheat looking piece of cartilage, where he left over part of it towards the top part, and he left over part of it towards the trachea, meaning because he cut it, like he cut it in the middle. So that's like Paga Venaga. Not only did he touch it, come to it, he actually touched it. Still, Rav Papa says, in the name of Rav, that's going to be Ksher, it's going to be valid. As long as you left over part of those Chite, it's going to be valid. Now, Amar Rav Amema Bar Mar Yunuka says, Havakimna Kamid Rav Chia Bered Rav Avya. I was in front of Rav Chia, the son of Rav Avya. V'amali, and he said to me, Shayer Bechitik Ksher, as long as you leave over part of that, even if you're Paga Venaga, not like the previous interpretation, which we weren't even sure, maybe it's even problematic, even Pogba Loinaga. So even in Pogba Naga, it's going to be kosher, as long as you left over part of that you didn't cut on top of the total of that, those wheat-looking parts of cartilage on top of the trachea. Now, Amli Ravino Ravashi says, Amali Rav Shimon Misubra, Rav Shimon from Subra, that he told me that Ikla Mazutra La'asin Bedarsh, Mazutra came to our place and he expounded that Shayer Bechitik Ksher, the same halacha, if you left over part of that cartilage of the chitim, it's going to be valid. Now, Ma'abar Avashi, I mean, he says, Paga, which is seemingly that if it encountered but it didn't touch Bechite by those wheat looking piece of cartilage, then it's Ksher, but he disagrees with the previous interpretations, is Shayer Bechitik Trefa. If it did come to it and touch, where even if you left over part of it, it's going to be trefa. As the Gemara continues at the top of your Testament Aleph, the Hilchos HaDaloche is, Mishipu Koivu Lamat, and this is what we're mentioning all along beforehand. From the part of the hat where it starts slanting going downward, meaning before the hat starts slanting upward, because we're talking about the top part all the way near the the top part of the animal near the head, but it's part of that hat. When it's about to start to slant, that area is kasher to even slaughter it. Now, from that point onward, it's going to be treif. The hainu de shayr b'chite, and that is the halacha that we've been calling, that you left over part of the chite. In other words, it's like the one who says, if you leave over part of the chite, it's going to be kasher, because that's that area. Those chitim, those little pieces of cartilage, of like wheat-looking piece of cartilage, is right there by that the hat part, as it's about to slant downward, that even that up to that area is still valid to do shechita. And so to Rav Nachman, Achshem Meshiba Koyva Lamata, he validated from the hat part when it's starting to slant downward, even that area is still kasher to slaughter it. Now, Amalei Rav Chanan Barav Katina Rav Nachman, he asked him, come on, who are you going like? Because up until now, we only have the two opinions of our Mishnah, although we quote a Brisa, which we're going to come to. Yeloi Krabon, Veloi Krabiyas Rav Yehuda. You're not like the two opinions mentioned in our Mishnah, because even Rav Yasi doesn't validate only if the majority of the slaughtering was within that top ring. But to be totally on top of that top ring, he agrees that that's going to be possible. And this hat is above that top ring. So how can you say it's valid? So Amalei, so he said to him, Ano, me, loy chilikidana, veloy bilikidana. So first Rashi says that he heard what it means to say is that I'm not saying like the Rabbanan, who their chilik, that they said that it's regarding if you cut the top ring in half, that's a problem. Or not like Rabbi Yisi, who he says bilik, where it's like if you destroyed the simanim, that no, Rashi says it can't be that's what it's told about, because we find this a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadikhez Rebez Nachelik, that the Gemara mentions Atu Chilik or Bilik Achilei, which it sounds like according to that, that it's just saying like random people, like Plaini Almaini. That's saying, it says, I don't know Chilik, I don't know Bilik, I don't know what you're asking me from the Mishnah of the Rabbana and Rabbi Yisi. Ano Shmaita, a teaching of the Amiram, that's Yadana, that's what I know, that they said that it's valid to slaughter all the way up, even till above that top ring, as long as you're in the area of that top hat where it's about to slant going downward to the upper area of the animal. Now, these Amiram, they relied on Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis, who he disputes, as we quote a Brisa, as we can explain, on Rabban and Rabbi Yisi, and he validates what, according to them, is going to be considered Hagrama out of the area. Some say it's Amr Baba bar Zabda Amr Chanina. Some say it was Amr Yaakov bar Idi Amr Pshu ben Levi. That Mishipu Koyvo Lamatik Shera, from that top hat, which is on top of the trachea, where it's starting to slant on that area downward, meaning down from that, not where it's starting to slant narrow, it's going to be kasher. Now, Amr Pshu ben Levi explained, Mugremis de Rabbanon, what's considered Hagram according to Rabbanon, where if you didn't do the entirety in the top ring, where after you did, you cut the majority, you went out of the area, which according to Rabbanan, it has to be the whole thing, it's going to be considered Hagrama. So that, as we explained the Mishnah, is Kesheh Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. He says that's valid, because all he requires is the majority. Moreover, what according to Rabbi Yisrael Behuda is considered Hagrama, which is that if you slaughtered the majority of it above the top ring, or for sure, if all of it was above the top ring, is Kesheh Rabbi Menatignes. Menatignes says that's kasher. He holds it doesn't even have to be in the top ring. It could be even above. It could be even on that hat that's on top, as long as it's not above that area where it starts slanting. Now, that's the Gemara Pshita. That's obvious. We already taught that in the Brisa on the top of Yitches and Mebeis, which Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis had said, Mugremis is Kesherah. So it says the Gemara, no. What would you say, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis, that said it's valid in that Brisa when you do Hagrama, is Adrabanan Koy. It's going back on that, the Manda Amr, who was right before him, is Drabanan, who, as we said, Umugremis Psulo was not Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, was the Rabbanan. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Chanina would agree that if you went out totally above that top ring, that it would be possible. Kamashman, that's what we're teaching you, that no, he holds it doesn't have to be in the top ring at all. It could even be totally on top of that. But I'm asking him, but why? How do you know that? Maybe say you're right. Maybe he's only going on the Rabbanan, that they say it has to be totally in the top ring. Maybe that he's disagreeing, and he says it doesn't have to be totally. But who said it doesn't have to be at all in the top ring? And that says the Gemara, because Imkain, if he was only going back under Rabbanan, then Heid Oleo mi Boile. It should have said, Heid Reb Chanin Ben Atignis Oleha, that it's kasher, which would have sounded like it's going right back on that anonymous statement right before him, which was that of the Rabbanan, that said Mugremis is possible. And that it would have been saying, Reb Chanin Ben Atignis testified that no, it doesn't have to be totally in there, which could have been like Reb Yisrael Behuda. But from the fact that the words it says are that Heid Reb Chanin Ben Atignis Mugremes. What do you mean, Mugremes? What do you mean? We just told Mugremes. Why do you have to say those words unnecessarily? It's because he's going back on all the cases of Mugremes that we mentioned up until now, Meaning, not only does he validate the megrames of the Rabbanon, where if the majority is inside the ring, it's still going to be kosher, but even the megrames of Rabbi Yesi, where all of it is above the ring, it's still going to be kosher. Because like we said, his opinion is, it could even be on that hat, on top of the top ring. And says the Gemara, V'hilchaz like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, as we've been saying from Rashi all along, the Koyer of Nachman Kabasei, like Rav Nachman says like him, which again, he validates if it's from that top hat, where it starts slanting up until that area, and below, as we said, is going to be kosher. Therefore, he says that the interpretations of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, which even Rashi had different interpretations, said was a moot point, essentially, halachically, because we don't pass like that. It doesn't have to even be at all, like our Mishnah said in the top ring. It could be on the top hat from what we call Mishibu Kaiba, Ulamat is going to be kosher.